Amen.
Well, someone asked me earlier in the service, and someone asked me one time at a store this week, so are you ready for Christmas? And I thought, well, almost, you know, I will be. And I was thinking about that because I was at a store, and I think what she was talking about is, are you done with your shopping? And that's kind of how I answered. I was like, well, almost, not quite. But I hope I will, but I will be. But I can't help but think that that question, are you ready for Christmas, could carry a lot more weight than if you've done your Christmas shopping or cleaned your living room for the parties or if you've prepared the food properly. Are you ready for Christmas? It means a lot more, doesn't it? I mean, we're coming here to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. So we have parties and we have worship and we have all this stuff that goes on, and it's an exciting time and it's a fun time, but thinking about that, is your heart ready for Christmas? Is your life ready for Christmas? Is a much deeper answer. And I can't help but think that if I was honest, that my answer would be, well, not quite, but I hope to be someday. Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, as we get ready for Christmas, we know you are with us. You are with us at all times and all places. This is why we celebrate. I ask that you bless all of us, bless these times of celebration, bless those that travel, bless those that have to go long nights or have extra stress because of this holiday season. Help us all to have a sense of peace, to have a Merry Christmas, a Christmas that is full of joy, so we may honor you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Last night I was at a Christmas party. It was a wonderful evening. And myself and two other dads were talking, as dads often do, about our kids. And we were talking about how great it is to see our children find something that they truly love to do. You know, find something that really speaks to them. And of course, with me, when I think about Ellie, I think, you know, her dancing and that part of her that's so just a part of who she is. As so many of you have witnessed before. But I was talking to a couple other dads, and they were talking about other things. Gymnastics, one of the dads was talking about, and how great it is to see, or golf, or whatever it might be, how great it is to see your child find something that just speaks to them, that they're gifted at. And it's something beyond just talent. It's something that's part of who they are. And it appears in lots of children, and it's great to see that. I think of my nephews and nieces that I've seen, other people that I've seen grow up, and how fun it is to watch them go from, you know, babies with so much potential and so much promise to growing into adults that have something, the joy it is when they find that thing, whether it be being on stage or, you know, reading or teaching or studying or healing, whatever. There's so many things that people have. It's just a part of who they are. I remember when I was young, finding that thing that made me, you know, that thing that was a part of me that no matter what sort of job I had or what kind of titles I might have for the rest of my life, I knew that in my heart of hearts, I was a writer. That's something that I discovered when I was, I don't know, 14, 15 years old, somewhere in there, that there was something about doing that just fed my spirit. And how much of a joy it is to have something like that. And I love holding babies. Does anybody else love holding babies? That moment to hold a baby and look at that child and know that there's something there, there's something in that child. I can't think of anything that's filled with more hope and promise than holding a baby. It's a wonderful thing to be to have that sort of wonder. And you know what? I think that's what Zechariah experienced that we read today. That we all read today. That was cool. That Zechariah, that he felt when he held his baby, when he held the little baby that at that moment was just John the baby. He would become John the Baptist. But at that point, he was just John a baby. And he was holding him. And the hope and the promise that was in Zechariah's heart just spilled over into this rejoicing and this song of praise and prophecy. It was a powerful moment in Zechariah's life because he saw his child through the eyes of God. He saw him through the eyes of love and could see something in this child that was divine, some purpose, some promise. And you can get this sense when he says, "You child." You know, he's not just talking about anybody. "You child will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way." And it's a great thing to have that sort of purpose, that mission, that part of who you are. See, and I believe that the joy that Zechariah had in holding that baby and seeing the promise in that child is only surpassed by the love and joy that God has when God looks at you. When God looks at every single one of us and sees inside of us, God knows that there's promise and there's hope. That we were created to be ourselves. Isn't that a cool thought? I mean, you were created to be you. There's something about you, that is unique, that is precious. And that is in the image of God. And when I read Zechariah with these shouts of joy at his child being born, as people ask, "Well, what's going to become of this child?" And Zechariah was able to say, "This child will tell people, will prepare the way of the Lord. This child will tell people, will point to the people the way of salvation. This child will whisper and will tell the people that sit in the shadow of death that the dawn is coming near. This child will point to God, will show the way to Christ, to salvation." And he had that sort of joy in knowing that that was the purpose of his child. God has that same joy and that same rejoicing, that same power when he looks at each of us. Because we've had no lesser calling than to prepare the way of the Lord, to tell the people the way of salvation, to share that story, that power, that glorious message, to tell the people that are sitting in the shadow of death that the dawn is coming near. The light of the dawn will break. All of us have something in us that can be used by God for that purpose. It might look in different ways. You know, John had his way of living in the wilderness and eating locusts and honey and wearing animal skins, and that was good for him. That served a purpose, but that wasn't everybody's purpose. It's the same purpose, but it wasn't everybody. We don't all have the same means. We don't all have the same way that we're going to accomplish it. We've all been given something different, a voice, 2 feet, 2 hands, our mind, our experience, our life, our failures, all these things that we've been given that have been a part of our lives that are wrapped up in this moment, they've been given to us by God to use for God's purpose. And see, the thing is, we often hide from that. We hide from the person that we could be. We hide because we've been told to hide. We hide because we have to fear. Because when we've made ourselves vulnerable or when we've put ourselves out there, we've been shunned, we've been hurt. Sometimes society tells us, because we're the wrong gender or the wrong age or the wrong nationality or something. Society tells us because we've got the wrong job, or society tells us that we need to hide from ourselves. But Zechariah declared so long ago that we don't need to fear anymore. Christ came so that we could serve the Lord without fear. That we can put aside all that fear and stand up as who we are, created by God, loved by Jesus Christ, and do the work that we've been called to do. But fear is powerful. And the shadow of death is large. And it can be dark. We've been given freedom. And in our freedom, we've built a lot of obstacles to God. We've built a lot of things that cast big shadows. And sometimes the shadow can be so dark. And we sit in the shadows. All of us have sat in the shadow before. I know I have. We sit in the shadow when we're lonely, when we feel like there's no one around, when we feel like we're in a new place or a strange city. I remember a time in my life when I felt like I was all by myself. In a city I didn't know, but in an apartment and a roommate I didn't know. And I remember that sadness, that loneliness, that shadow that seemed to creep over me. We sat in the shadow when the diagnosis is negative, or the diagnosis is positive and the prognosis is not so optimistic. We've sat in the shadow when we've lost job or work and the mystery of when the next paycheck might come casts a large shadow. We've sat in the shadow when relationships that once were vibrant and loving and full of energy have now become old and stale and are filled with hurt feelings and sharp words and coldness. We sit in the shadow when a loved one is no longer with us. We sit in the shadow of our own shame sometimes when we realize the guilt and the failures, the times when we haven't loved and we are called to love, times when we've ignored God's will, been sharp with those that we should be caring for. Some of us sit in shadows of our own making. We sit in shadow when we realize, when we know that the world is a broken place. When 20,000 children die every day because they don't have enough food or of a disease that could have been prevented or cured. We sit in the shadow when the sanctuary of a school is shattered. And we cry. And sometimes when we sit in that shadow, all we feel like we have is tears. Here's the thing about a shadow. The shadow is only a shadow because there's light. And sometimes when we sit in the shadow, we can figure out where that source comes from. And sometimes that light is a whisper of a friend, a phone call. Sometimes that shadow is a note that you weren't expecting, a letter or a message. Sometimes the shadow is a total stranger that's willing to lend you a kindness or a word of encouragement. Sometimes the light is in your heart. When you search deep enough and see that there's something there that God has given you that is good. Some say that God doesn't go where God's not wanted. But the story of Christmas, the claim of Christmas, is that God goes in strange and unexpected and unwanted places. God breaks through the cosmos. God tears open the curtain. God shatters all the things that we build up to cast the shadow on our lives and on our hearts. God tears down all those walls, breaks through, and becomes a baby of all things. God comes through and lays in a manger in a dusty, dirty old place filled with animals and filth. And the shepherds come, the lowest of the low. God breaks through all of the darkness. And shows up when we least expect it. This is the story of Christmas. This is the light that we're called to point to. This is the light that we're called to share. To be that light sometimes. To be that light to somebody else, to point to it if you can't, to point to that light, to show somebody that there's another way, that there's another way of living, that the shadow doesn't have to overwhelm you, that the darkness can't be overcome by the light of God. To show the way to somebody else and say, look, there's the love, there's the grace, there's the forgiveness in this world. There are good people in this world, and God has created us to be good to one another, to love one another. To love ourselves and to overcome the shadows that we try so hard to build up. This week, I went to Willard School up the hill. And I've done it several times this year. And I'll be there the next Wednesday that school is open. And I go there and I sit in the library, and I go and the library classroom where they're doing, where the little kids are doing some extra reading. And when I go there, there's usually a second grade class. And I come in and I walk in the door now. I've been there several times, and when I walk in the door, they all know, the kids know that Mr. McCoy is there to read with them. And they all wanna be the one to go read with me. They all want to be the one to get their book and come out of the room and sit at a table together and just read together. And there's one little boy in particular that gets so excited when they come in. And, you know, little guy, he struggles sometimes. I've seen his behavior chart. You know, he's not the... They send him with me because he needs a little one-on-one time. I think sometimes they send him with me so, because the teacher needs one less student in the room. And he's this little guy, bless his heart, he can't sit still. But he sits and he reads, and he's always squirming in his seat, changing his position. And we read together, and he struggles with words, and I give him some encouragement, and I help him sound some stuff out, and we read these stories. And sometimes he'll stumble on one word, but then the same word will pop up again, and then he'll get it the second time, and I celebrate that with him, and I give him some encouragement. And he knows that I'm going to be there, and he's excited about that. You know, and I don't know, but it might be the only time all week that he sits and reads with somebody, with that one-on-one time. And then I go from there, and I go and I help the teacher for a little while, and I help her do some busy work, put away papers, sort books, put contact paper on the books, do stuff like that. Stuff that she's got to do probably either on her lunch break or after school, and maybe the work that I do lets her go home 15 minutes earlier to her own family. Or maybe the work I do lets her actually eat her lunch, or maybe the work I do gives her a chance to go get a cup of coffee. And then I go out and I go to another class and I see some more kids. And then I go and I have lunch with a little boy. And then we go out into the playground and we play catch for a little while. And And he told me, you know, he was happy that I'm there because if I'm there, no one will pick on him. And you know what I do? I sit there and I read with that little guy. And I pray for him. I pray for God to be with him, to give him strength, to give him comfort, to give him love, to give him a sense of peace so that maybe he could calm down for a little bit and learn something. Because I know that second graders, it's so important for them to read. Because I know a child, if they don't learn to read by third grade, if they're not on level in third grade at their reading level, all sorts of bad things can, they take a different path. Because after third grade, most schools are set up to assume that you know how to read. And if you can't at third grade, then they're just behind the rest of the way. And there's been studies that show that if you're not on track reading in third grade, then you're much less likely to be able to graduate high school. And if you're much less likely to graduate high school, you're much more likely to be in jail or dead. So I sit there with him and I pray for him. I don't pray with him. He doesn't know I'm praying. I just pray for him. And then I go into the classroom and I pray for that teacher while I'm doing my contact paper, and I pray for the other kids while I'm doing my busy work. And then I go out on the playground and I pray with the little boy that I eat with, and I pray in that playground for all the kids that are struggling. I see little kids just sitting there not getting played with, and I pray for them, or maybe I'll go and say hi to them. And you know what? Nobody stopped me from praying. And God was there before I got there, and God will be there long after I leave. And I tell you this not because I'm to tell you the great things that I do. I tell you because I'm just a guy that shows up. I'm just Mr. McCoy. I'm just a guy that shows up. And every single one of us could just be a guy that shows up. Just be a person that shows up in somebody's life. Just shows up and says, I love you. I'm here for you. And I can point to the light. And I can whisper in your ear when you're sitting in the shadow of death that the dawn is near. So I invite you to come with me, if you're free, on Wednesday morning from 9 to 11. Sarah comes too, and you know, you talk about vocation. I'm talking about vocation and who you are. Teaching is one of those things that when you see a teacher with kids, they become teachery. It just comes out of them, and she can help you. She can help you, show you around the school and just feel comfortable in a place that might feel uncomfortable. I invite you to think about who you are, to serve the Lord with no fear. Think about who you are, what is inside of you that makes you you, because what makes you you is precious, and it can be precious to somebody else. You can serve the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You can serve without fear. Zechariah proclaimed it so long ago, and I'm here to proclaim it again. You can serve the God, serve your God with no fear. And you can find somebody that's sitting in the shadow of death, that's sitting in the shadow, that knows darkness. And you can whisper to him, the dawn is coming. See the light. This is what Christmas is all about. That the light broke through the darkness. That God broke through everything that would divide us, everything that could separate us, all the obstacles, and God came and became a baby and offers us hope and peace and joy and love and shows us that path. And we can show it to others. We can show it to others. So today, I invite you to come forward. I invite you to kneel at your seat, to bow your head where you are. Whatever it takes, whatever you need to do to look inside of who you are and know that God is loving you as much or more than Zechariah loved his boy that day. that God sees a promise in you that is surpasses all of our understanding, that sees a promise in you that you can prepare the way of the Lord for somebody else. You are loved. And all the shadows in the world, all the things that we build ourselves up with, all the shame and all the guilt, it's nothing compared to the love of Jesus Christ. It's nothing compared to the power of our God, the God that broke through it all and became a child, that took on flesh, that took on suffering, that took on fear, that took on our sins, that took on our love, that fed us and healed us and calls us to Him right now. God's calling you. He wants you to come to see who you are and to go out and find somebody that's sitting in the shadow and whisper, "The dawn is coming. The dawn is coming." Shout it if you have to. Shout it with me. The dawn is coming. Christmas is coming. Christ is here. Christ is risen, and Christ is forevermore. So come. And I invite our prayer partners to come, and you can pray with them. To lay aside all the things, to lay aside what you might be fearing, to put it all away, and just come to Christ at Christmas. I invite you to bow your head and think about how you can whisper to someone in the shadow. Merry Christmas. Thank you.